It's now time for The Journey with Dodsy and Dave.
G'day listeners, welcome to The Journey. I'm Dave.
And I'm Dodsy.
Great to see you again, Grant. The Winter Olympics, mate, they're done and dusted. Probably not the best in terms for Australia. Medals, not that many, but what an amazing spectacle it was.
Mate, you're not wrong there, Dave. Look, they can still hold their heads high. I just can't believe some of those sports. Absolute craziness. Luge, half pipe, ski jumpers. Look, I don't know if these guys are brave or mad, those Olympians, but it was fun to watch some of it, that's for sure. Anyway, how's your week been, Dave?
I've had a great week, a busy week as usual. Back doing scripture teaching, doing a couple of classes this year, so really enjoying it. The thing I really love is that my mother has come on as a helper as well, so it makes things so much easier and so much more enjoyable. Yeah, so it's going to be a great year.
Yeah, good stuff.
Well, another cracker of a show lined up for this week, Dodsy. Great music, inputs from Bruce Downs, the Catholic guy, Sister Hilda Scott from the Abbey, the Parolas, they'll be back with their marriage tips, and Trish McCarthy will be in the mix too with her milk and honey segment. Well, over to you, Dodsy. How's your week been, mate?
Well, it's been great so far, Dave. I'll tell you what, it's going to get even better. Straight after this, I'm heading up to Warranora, to Prince Edward Park, for our three-monthly sports day, where we all get together as mates and families, play a bit of sport, knock a ball around, get some leather on willow, do a bit of fishing.
Sounds good.
A bit of chin wagging. Cool. Yeah, it's just a real good community spirit. I love doing it. Anyway, come on, let's get into the show. Too much to listen to for me to keep babbling on.
Yeah, as you said, Dodsy, all of our regular contributors will be having something to say. And in amongst that will be an interview I did with Robert Falzon, founder of the Men Alive movement. And it was at a recent function he spoke at. I tell you what, he's an amazing guy and a regular contributor to our show.
Yeah.
It was just great catching up with him and meeting him for the first time.
Can't wait. Let's get into it. First up, here's Father Ken Cafe with this week's Gospel Reflection, and that'll be followed by Phil Wickham with his song, This Love Will Last Forever.
Faith, hope, love and life. You're tuned to The Journey.
Here's this week's Reflection on the Gospel.
Our scripture reflection today focuses not on the Gospel reading, but on the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 14 to 15. Can a mother forget her baby? A woman, a child in her womb. Even if these forget, I will never forget you. Have you ever noticed how mothers have an unparalleled capacity to love? No matter how tough a job she has raising her children, a mother will pour herself into it with all her heart. She is always worried about the welfare of her children. She makes countless sacrifices for them. She is committed to forming her children and teaching them how to live. She tirelessly defends them, no matter what threats may come their way. No wonder the prophet in today's first reading uses the vocation of motherhood to illustrate God's love for us. We're so used to thinking of God as our Heavenly Father, but it's good to be reminded how much women, especially mothers, reflect God's goodness, love, and devotion as well. Every time we see a mother comforting her child, we can get a glimpse of the way God wants to comfort us. Every time we see a mother staying up all night with a sick child, we can remember God's promise to carve us in the palm of His hand. Whenever we see a mother worrying about choices her adult children are making, we can recall Jesus' words, "How many times I yearn to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." Every time we see a mother giving her child advice or correction, we should think about the psalmist's prayer, "Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me insight to learn your commands." It's impossible to say where the world would be without a mother's love. And it's just as hard to imagine where we would be without our loving God. So every time you think of your mother today, think about God and rejoice in the love that surrounds you. Let our prayer today be, "Here I am, God. I am so grateful to be your child." I'm Jude Hennessy, producer of The Journey.
Faith, hope, love and life. This is The Journey.
Nothing I need.
is Sister Hilda with Wisdom from the Abbey.
There's a particular saint who lived in France, I think around the 1700s. Like a lot of missionaries, his big work was spreading the love of the Father to everybody, and but particularly to the disadvantaged, to the peasants of the time. To encourage the people, particularly the peasants, in their pursuit of this love, to find tangible expression to it, he invited them to build a Calvary scene. There happened to be a very rocky hill close by. For 18 months, the peasants built a Calvary scene. A huge cross, in fact, three crosses. Now, when the time came for the official opening, the government of the time got wind of it. And the day before the official opening, word was sent to this saint that the Calvary scene was to be destroyed. Can you imagine what that was like? That wasn't all about just rocks. That was about people's hearts, about their hopes, about their faith, and it was going to be destroyed. This saint gathered them together and said to them, "Yes, we've built a Calvary of rocks, but let's now build a Calvary in our hearts that can't be destroyed." There's the invitation for us this week. Let's build a Calvary in our heart that can't be destroyed. You know that Calvary where words of forgiveness were spoken? That Calvary where you and I were saved? Let's build that in our heart. When something horrible happens this week, remember, you're building a Calvary in your heart. And when you tell God about it, you're saving it, like you do on a computer, saving it to the great love of the Father.
Walking, stumbling on these shadow feet toward home, a land that I'll never see. I am changing less and less asleep, made of different stuff than when I began, and I've sensed it all along. Fast approaching is the day when the world is falling.
Distraction.
was Brooke Fraser with Shadow Feet. And before that, we heard from Sister Hilda from the beautiful Jamberoo Abbey. It was a great message on how we need to keep Calvary in our hearts. Love having her on the show every week. I'm sure Grant does as well. Well, Lent is upon us. Grant, what are you doing to get yourself ready for the Easter season?
Mate, I'm going to just start by reflecting on what it's all about and really remember the reason for the season, and then just increase my prayer life even more, because, you know, it can never be too much. And just get up into the reflection room at home and spend, you know, great quality time with God every day.
Sounds great, Grant. Now it's time for a bit of music. We're going to hear from Matt Maher with Great Things. Faith, hope, love and life. You're tuned to The Journey.
My soul proclaims your greatness, Lord, rejoicing in my Savior. Your mercy belongs to those who fear your Son. His blessing you have given them forever. And holy is His name. Holy is His name. You alone have done great things. I can't boast of anything. Mighty One, King of Kings, Jesus.
Time for Milk and Honey with Trish McCarthy. It's encouraged that we eat a rainbow of colour in regards to our food. The various colours of our natural food have a specific purpose in our bodies. Not only do I try and eat a rainbow of colour on any one day, but every now and then, maybe once a month, I throw in a colour day. Put simply, if I want to cleanse my body, I'll tackle the challenge of having a green day, whereby the majority of the foods I consume are green. Green salad filled with baby spinach, steamed broccoli, avocado, pumpkin seeds, or a green vegetable soup with leeks, broccoli, zucchini, celery. These can be so delicious. Another day might be purple, comprising of eggplants, berries, grapes, purple cabbage and the like. You get the idea. A key point to remember is to keep it as fresh and natural as possible. Maybe the symbolism of the rainbow God showed Noah in the Old Testament can be extended into our everyday lives, living close to or under God's promise to take care of us, body, mind and spirit.
Together on the journey, faith, hope and love for life in all its fullness.
In my own little world, it hardly ever rains. I've never gone hungry, always felt safe. I got some money in my pocket, shoes on my feet. In my own little world, population, me. I try to stay awake during Sunday morning church. I throw a 20 in the plate, but I never give till it hurts. Turn off the news when I don't like what I see. Yeah, it's easy to do when it's population, me. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose? I could be living right now. At a red light, looked out my window. I saw cardboard signs that held this homeless widow. And just above that sign was the face of a human. I thought to myself, God, what have I been doing? So I rolled down the window and I looked her in the eye. Oh, how many times have I just passed her by?
So I can start living right now.
That was My Own Little World with Matthew West. I heard that's one of your favourites, Dodsy.
Loved it. Almost as good as Trish McCarthy's Milk and Honey input for this week. Now, as promised, here's a little interview Big Dave did with Men Alive's Robert Falzon. What did you talk about, mate?
Interesting guy indeed, Dodsy. He told me about his life, a little bit about his history as well as a businessman, the ups and downs that happened throughout his life and when he thought that he'd hit rock bottom and how he came back to his faith even stronger than ever. It's just a great chat, mate.
All right, let's hear that chat, eh? Here we go.
Robert Falzon from Men Alive, thank you for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
Well, we're at a Men Alive movement, I suppose you could say seminar, meeting, however you want to describe it. We can still hear some of the fellas at the back. It's just completed. Wow, what a great morning to spend with you and 90 other men of faith. Can you first up, Robert Falzon, tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, David. Thank you. Great to be here with these guys. Such an exciting spirit. And the bishop was here and men from other denominations, such a joy to be here. About me, I'm a businessman, a married man, I'm a father, a Catholic man, and I worked for many years in business, and now I'm working as a full-time lay minister of the Good News in the Catholic Church.
Tell us about your first encounter and what you would describe as profound experience with Jesus.
Yeah, I was about 16 years of age. I was in church. The minister was preaching about this Jesus in a way that he knew him, that he was personal and real and interested in his life, and it was like a shock to me. I didn't realize that religion was about that. I thought religion was about rules and regulations and making sure you kept the commandments and you didn't go to hell. And then this guy was telling me that my religion, my faith, was about an encounter and a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. It changed my life.
If you don't mind, can you please add to that Eros and the fishing boat analogy? I think it ties in beautifully.
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm big on is that we all have this indestructible, invisible power and source of life within us. And what we have to do as men is try and find a way to release that. Now, the name for the fire is Eros. We often think that's about passion. It is about passion, but it's about this fire. And what we do with this fire, because it causes us to get into trouble in life, it leads us into places we shouldn't go and don't want to go, what we do is we quarantine the fire. We put it in a box, tiny little box, lock it up with a key, stick it in our secret spot, and don't let it get unruly, and then we live as good Christian men, but we lack that spark. We live sort of lukewarm, tame, insipid, domesticated, civilized, ordinary, mediocre, wide road lives. It's like the boat. It's like the boat that Jesus come to the shore of Galilee, and Peter and James and John and Andrew had just finished fishing. They'd been fishing all night. They'd caught nothing. They were buggered. They'd cleaned their nets. They'd folded them up. They're all nice and tidy. And then Jesus gets into their boat and messes it all up. He tips their boat. He tips their lives upside down. He doesn't let them get comfortable. He doesn't let them go and be dejected. He gets in their boat. He preaches the good news of life, of the joy of the gospel, and then he says these incredible words to Peter, push out into the deep and put your nets on the other side for a catch. Peter knows the wide road answer. I've been fishing all night. It's too hard. I'm not going back out there. I just cleaned the nets. What are you asking me to do to get them dirty again? You know, like this just smashing his comfort zone. And so what he does the miraculous thing. He does the brave, courageous Eros thing. He says, because you say so, I will. And he gets his nets, puts them on the other side, and the boat's so full of fish, you know, like our churches and our parishes and our ministries, so full of the presence of fish, that we have to call other parishes and other ministries and other churches to come join us to fill up their boats with the fish that's there. And then Peter gets on his knees in the boat and says, Master, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus doesn't worry about his sin. He says, today, Simon, I'm going to call you Peter. Changes his name and gives him a new job. He says, you were a fisher of fishes, a fisher of perch, but now you're going to be a fisher of men. And that's what drove me. I want to be a fisher of men.